Good morning, guys. Hey, I guess about a month or so back in July, Sonny asked me to speak here at church, and I'm so grateful for that. And I talked about having an anchor and about us being anchored. And you know what? It's fun when the Lord just continues to grow something in your heart. And so I want to continue on just with those thoughts, because that's where I've been a little bit too. Because, you know, anchored to me sounds really solid, right? You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday that they bring in a lot of molasses and stuff in the port down in Houston. And I said, man, what did y'all do with all those tankers? He said, well, we took them out to sea and we anchored them. We got them away from the port and we dropped anchor. And then the waves didn't move them. You know, they were able to go and do and whatever, but they didn't crash against the port or anything like that. And I thought, man, how solid is that? That's cool to me. And I think that we are anchored. That's what I want to say this morning. You are anchored. It may not feel like being anchored. If you're anchored to the wrong thing, it may feel like being a slave. Okay, but you're tied to something. And what you're tied to is your ways. You're tied to your ways. Now, if your ways are like Christ's ways, then you're anchored. If your ways are not like Christ, then you're a slave. That's what it feels like. Big difference, right? It's a big difference to me. And I was looking back through some notes last night on a teaching that I did years ago, and it was really neat to see it, because some of these things that I'm fixing to share with you were very heavy at that time when I was about to do this teaching. So what I want to do is read seven things, and the first part of it is being a slave, okay? And then the other side of it is being anchored. So think of it this way: if you got bit by a rattlesnake, what would you do? Immediately, get anti-venom, right? So that's what the other side is. It's the anti-venom to what I was struggling with. So these are real struggles that I have. I'm just going to be vulnerable with you guys this morning, and it's not to say that I don't struggle with these anymore, but I've made a lot of victory in them, okay? I'll just say that. So there is, you can change your ways, is what I want you to know. You can change your ways. Things can change. One of the things that I was a slave to was the desire to impress man. What you thought of me was very important to me. Okay, can I tell you this morning, I'm not real worried about that. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a free way. I'm not real worried about what you think of me this morning, because here's the antidote to that, is to trust the Lord. Either I'm consumed with what Clark thinks of me, or I'm consumed with trust in the Lord. Amen? You see the difference? There's an opposite to it. Another one was to manipulate. You know, I used to manipulate my wife, situations, and it was a heavy, hard, dirty feeling, okay? Today, or the antidote to that, is to establish my footsteps in His ways. You see the difference? One, I'm trying to get you to do or think a certain way, and I'm tied to that. And it may be because I've been in sales all my life. I don't know. But so my thinking was, I don't eat if you don't buy. Well, that's not true. I eat because the Lord's my provider, not you. You see that, guys? So to manipulate versus to be established in His ways. Another thing I struggled with was to feel inferior or to be intimidated or to not measure up. I would find myself in areas with people that I thought, man, I don't measure up here. I don't belong here. And I would start shutting down. I would be intimidated. You know what it's like to be intimidated? You just shut down. So to feel inferior, to be intimidated, or not measure up, you know what the antidote to that is? Is to acknowledge His presence. Say, God, I acknowledge Your presence. See what I just did? I acknowledged Paul Motes' presence. I had every eye in here look at Paul Motes. You all knew Paul was here. Heck, he's here every Tuesday, right? Sometimes we're that way with God. We all know God's here. Heck, He's here all the time. But sometimes what His Word says is we need to acknowledge His presence. So I'm facing with something that's making me feel inferior or making me feel intimidated. I just need to stop, shut it down, and say, God, I acknowledge Your presence right here, right now. I acknowledge Your presence. It's not that I didn't know God was there. I mean, I knew God was there, but I didn't acknowledge His presence. There's power in doing that. There's power when you start having those kind of anxieties and you just stop and you say, God, I acknowledge Your presence right here, right now. My wife added this one. No, I'm just kidding. To get irritated, okay? To get even angry. And then just to shut down. And yes, it occurs mostly in marriage. Just the shutdown part. I'll just shut down. I'll show her. The antidote to that is to have compassion. Have kindness. Be patient. Have a humble heart. And there's a passage in the Bible that says, don't be embittered with your wives. And that's all it says. It doesn't say if she deserves it or whatever. It just says, hey, husbands, don't be embittered with them. Period. You know, I wanted to be important. And that's a trap. Because it can tie you into some of these other things. The desire to be important is a trap. The antidote to that is just to be at peace. Just to be at peace. I could allow fear to get on me in a heartbeat. Fear of whatever you wanted to talk about. Fear of finances. Fear of losing a job. Fear of whatever the fear may be. I mean, you guys can fill in the blank. The antidote to that is just to be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. I had pride. You know, I really didn't understand pride a lot. But anytime I would make it about me, I'm slipping into pride. Whether it may not even be boastful. It may be this form of intimidation. If I'm intimidated, what have I just done? I've made it about me. And what is that? That's pride. So you don't want to see pride that way. You want to see pride as me telling you I'm better than you kind of a deal. And that's a form of pride. I'm not saying that's not pride, but I'm just saying that pride is a sneaky, sneaky thing that can get on us in a heartbeat, and it can manifest itself in some really, really ways that you don't recognize it. And one of those can be, you know, to feel inferior or to feel intimidated or to feel like you don't measure up. That's a form of pride. And God's real clear about that. He says He opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble, right? And so what do you think the antidote to pride is? It's humility. It's taking a position of humility. And really, when I'm walking in pride, that's not a place of peace at all. Matter of fact, it's not peace at all. I mean, it's the opposite of that for me. But when I walk in humility and I just say, God, I'm totally dependent upon You here. I need You. So those are just a few examples, guys, of my ways personally versus His ways. Those are some things that I had to uncover and recognize. So let's just walk through this a little bit, because I'm going to tell you this, you cannot whip what you can't see. If you don't identify the enemy in your life, guess what? You're defending the enemy in your life. There's places where we actually defend that. And man alive, don't do that. We don't need to do that. There's a passage in Psalms 139, verses 23 through 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." You see the ways? Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." There's a difference. There's a difference in being righteous, okay? Righteousness is a free gift. Walking in righteousness is a choice. You hear that, guys? And I want you to understand that, because that's there. We can walk in righteousness. We can walk in a right relationship with the Lord. Now, Christ died so that our sins could be forgiven. Bible is very repetitive in your ways being different than His ways, so to speak. And there's some things there we really need to pay attention to, because we can walk through this life without ever really grabbing hold of what we're capable of grabbing hold of. And living the life that God really has for us, having the marriage that God really has for us, being the dad that God is really calling us to be. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts," says God. Okay? But we can walk in His thoughts. "My ways are not your ways," says God. But we can walk in His ways. Very first scripture I ever learned, and I don't even know, I think I just uncovered it just reading the Bible. I don't think I heard it from anybody, but this is the very first scripture that I ever memorized. It's Psalms, and it's probably because it's real short. That was funny, wasn't it, Bill? I was off a little bit. Psalms 86:11. It says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." Do you hear what that scripture is doing to me, or to you, or to anybody? It's making me take a position. You see it? "Teach me your way." Here's how I interpreted that scripture, and here's how I memorized it. "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I'll walk in it." Teach me your way, O Lord, and I'll walk in it. I will weigh it out. I will see if it fits. None of that. You show it to me, God, and I'll put it on. That's a good position to have, right? You show me your way as a husband, and I'll put it on, God. I won't challenge it. I won't argue with it. I'll put it on. You teach me your way as a dad, and I'll put it on. I won't challenge it. I won't discuss it. You show me, God. And you know when the Lord speaks to you, right? It's gonna come a couple of more times. Sometimes I'll hear Pastor Sonny say something in a sermon, and man, I'll be chewing on that, and maybe I hear a word during worship, and it's repeated in the sermon, and then I find it in the, you know, I walk across it as I'm studying His word. But the Lord's really, He's really repetitive in some of these things. And so, Lord, here, I need to know that it's You. So help me know that it's You. I'm not going to run from it, but I want to know it's You. And I think that's a good place to be. God, I want to know it's You. Please. And I can't tell you. I go down to get prayer the other day from Micah, and Micah's very prophetic with me. I don't know if he's prophetic all the time, but he was with me that day. I heard the Lord the second time through Micah, okay? I hear it a third time on the radio on K-Love, okay? Okay? You hear me? We don't have to minimize God's ability down to just Pastor Sonny or just the study of Scripture. Those are great ways to hear the Lord. But I may hear him through Jared Shannon. Okay, Jared loves the Lord, right? I'm okay with that. You need to be okay with that too. It may be on K-Love that you hear it. It may be by walking down to get. I was specific on what I wanted Micah to pray for me on. I didn't need him going off over there. But he went off over there anyway. Thank you, Micah, for doing that. You don't even know what you did probably. But thank you for doing that. Thank you for having the guts to move that away. Because that really spoke to me, number two. That was the number two I heard. And then the number three was on Caleb. I heard the Lord. Okay, God, I'll walk in it. I'll walk in it. It's clear. So teach me your way, O Lord, and I'll walk in your truth. Here's another passage that I love that talks about establishing me in his way. Okay, it's Psalms 119, verse 133. It says, establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. When I memorized this, I could have swore it said, establish my footsteps in your ways. But the Bible says word, but to me, it means the same. Establish my footsteps in your ways, God, and don't let any iniquity have dominion over me. Not my iniquity, not your iniquity, not iniquity that's found out there. Let it not have power over me. It doesn't say that I will never see it. I'll never have to walk through it. I won't fight through life. I won't have hard time. It doesn't say that. It says, don't let it have dominion over me. And the only way it cannot have dominion over me is if what? I'm established in his ways, right? I'm established in his word. Man, I pray this scripture over my wife as she's sleeping. I'll lay hands on her as she's asleep, and I'll pray this scripture. Lord, establish her footsteps in your ways, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over her today. I'll go back there when I leave early and my girls are still asleep. I'll lay hands on my girls, and I'll pray this passage over them. God, establish them in your ways. And whenever you get established in something, you know it, right? And you're growing in that. And that's important for me. I've got a daughter fixing to go to college, for goodness sakes. I want her to be established in his ways. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Sonny, are we okay on time? Okay. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 is another passage that really, really helps me. And guys, these are just passages that help me walk in his way. And I'm just trying to share some of that with you guys. But Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It'll be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. How many of you would like to have refreshment to your bones? I really like that. I don't know exactly what all that means, but I like that. That's refreshment all the way down to the core of who I am. Amen? How do you get that? Well, you get that by trusting in him with all your heart. You get that by acknowledging his presence in all your ways, just like we did with Paul. You get that, and he says, I will make your path straight. You trust me and you acknowledge me, I'll make your path straight. You trust me, you acknowledge me, I will show you my ways. You trust me, you acknowledge me, you'll know my ways. You see that? That's his words. That's straight out of the Bible. That is a promise. That is a promise. Trust, acknowledgement, clarity. Trust, acknowledgement, power. Trust, acknowledgement, humility. He goes on to say, don't be wise in your own eyes. Where do we battle, man? Where do we battle? I want to be wise. If I can't be wise in your eyes, well, at least I'm going to be wise in my own eyes. That was funny too, Bill. Then he says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So not only is he calling not only is he saying your ways aren't my ways, but I even take that a little bit further. He's saying that our ways versus his ways, our ways are evil. Wait a minute, there's nobody in here killing anybody. That's evil. No. That's not the only thing that's evil. Pride's evil. Being intimidated is evil. Fear is evil. Anxiety is evil. Doubting is evil. Worry is evil. It doesn't mean that you're hooked on pornography. Yes, that's evil too. But we don't have to go that far to be evil. I just want you to understand that. Anything outside of his ways is, guess what? Not his ways. So either you're of the Father in heaven, or what does he say? And there's a passage in there. You're of your father, the devil, or whatever. You know, I mean, it's black and white. We don't need to be playing in this gray area. It is a lot easier to learn the Lord's voice and to hear his ways when I'm not in a foxhole and the bullets flying over my dadgum head. It's a lot easier to step away from life for a half a day and say, God, speak to me. James 1, 2 through 8, I'm going to read this. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Steadfastness is just being anchored, okay? So the hard times that we face can produce what? An anchored relationship with the Lord. An anchored relationship with the Lord. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. Do you see the danger here? Being men of God, being sons of the King, and walking without faith? So Lamentations 3, verse 40 says, let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. Guys, not only is it important, not only is it a great idea, but it's biblical that you examine your ways. It's biblical that even Pastor Sonny or Pastor Jason, it's biblical that they even step away from and examine their ways. It's biblical that you do that. It's not a good suggestion. It's a great suggestion, but it's not only a good suggestion. It's recommended. It's recommended by him that we put aside, we step away, and we look at our life from a third party. You can't you're going to examine your ways. So what are your ways? Are they your actions? If you're going to step away and you're going to examine some things, what are you going to do? You're just going to think about your actions? You're going to think about your words? Okay? Yeah, all those things are good. Those things are things to look at. But we track that even further back. Your way or your ways is your thought process that controls you. It's hard to change my ways when I'm angry. It's easy to see I'm in a place that I don't need to be. But it's hard to change them. Is my way like his way? Are my thoughts like his thoughts? Do I see things like he sees them? How do I know an apple tree is an apple tree and not an orange tree? That's an easy one. It produces apples. I don't care if the tree tells me it's an orange tree. If it's producing apples, it's an apple tree. I don't care how much I want to say I'm walking in righteousness, but if I'm not producing fruit of righteousness, I'm not walking in righteousness. Okay, and I don't need to wait until Jared points that out. I don't have to. I don't mind. Micah didn't mind. I'm just kidding, Micah. I don't have to wait that long. I can step away. I can step away and say, okay, I just had an instance just this weekend. And I had to step away. I had to step away yesterday. Now, I couldn't actually go somewhere, and I highly encourage you, if you can go somewhere, go somewhere. Get away from it all. But yesterday, I had to step away mentally and go and continue with the activities of my day. But I made a mistake with my oldest daughter yesterday. Okay? And I had to get away from that a little bit. And I had to track that thing all the way back to the lie that produced it. There was a lie that I grabbed hold of that I didn't recognize. And I walked that lie all the way out to the point she was in tears. Oh my God, I hate to even say that. I was angry. She was in tears and I was angry. How godly is that? You know, when I recognized it, Sunday night, I'm thinking, oh, I beat myself up for a little while, and then I'm thinking, okay, God, help me here. And it's amazing what God can do in their heart and in my heart. I don't need to beat myself up. I'm up early. I was up at 4 o'clock Monday morning, and I'm doing my deal, and I look back, and her light's on at about 5:30 in her bedroom. So I just go in there and talk to her. What an amazing opportunity, right? I just got to go tell her I'm sorry. I made a mistake, and I'm sorry. And she said, it's okay, Dad. It's okay. Because, you know, the problem was there was some of this stuff in there that I was right about. Okay? There was a piece of that I was right about. And had I just stayed on that, it would have never produced anger. You see, God's ways don't produce anger. God's ways don't produce doubt. God's ways don't produce fear. God's ways don't produce anxiety. They don't produce that. Now, I could have lied to myself and said, but I was right. Because in the beginning of the conversation with her, I was right. But I carried it too far. I got wise in my own eyes. And I didn't have to go there. And you know what's really sick about it? Is I recognized it in the process. I recognized it, but I was already so bent on getting my point made that I just kept on with it. And you know what? She is a tender little girl. And that's why I could have stopped. I could have stopped. Anytime anger starts creeping in, you better stop. Anytime doubt starts creeping in, you better stop. Anytime fear starts creeping in, you better stop. Because you've left the way. His way does not produce that. So I say, step away and examine your fruits. I'm almost done. Galatians chapter 5, just in case we don't know, and I like verses 16 through 25. Well, it'd help if I get to Galatians and not Ephesians. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Had I done that yesterday with her, had I been walking completely by the Spirit, I would not have gratified the deeds of my flesh. I wanted to drive a point home, okay? I didn't need to drive a point home. I just need to make a point and go on and let God do the rest. You see, but I thought, no, God, I don't know that you're going to get it like I can get it. Well, that's right. He ain't going to do it like I'm going to do it. Okay? But what started out as a righteous discussion ended up in a fleshly place. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. You see the battle? These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So there's the list and anything that might fit in that list. Okay, things like that. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And you can go over in Colossians chapter 3, and you can read humility, compassion. There's some other fruits of the Spirit as well. Against such thing there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Guys, we're not purchasers of fruit. We're producers of it. Let me examine and probe my ways. And let me return to you, O Lord. That's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for me. That is an activity that is not a one-time activity. Now, last year about this time, I really felt the Lord calling me to get away. And I did. I'm a four-wheeler, Sacramento. I had a buddy of mine that was working that church camp over there. I took my four-wheeler, and I just left. And it was a powerful, powerful time to get totally away from everything. And I'm not saying that you have the opportunity to do that, okay? If you ever have a chance to do that for a couple of two or three days or whatever, just get away. I had a buddy of mine that I knew a long, long time ago, and I was going to come up and see him. He says, no, this is my weekend. I said, what do you mean it's your weekend? He said, well, he's a rancher up at Clayton, north of Clayton. He said, I go away for the weekend. He takes a tent, goes off somewhere, and he just stays for two or three days, and he gets away, and he examines himself. And that didn't make a lot of sense to me, but it really planted a seed for me. You may not be able to totally get away, but what I want you to do is recognize fruit. I think it's important to get away. And I think it's important to separate yourself from your life and examine it. Let me pray for us. God, I love you. I thank you for this opportunity to speak this morning, Lord God. I thank you for your word that we've heard this morning, Lord God. And I just pray, God, that it penetrates deep within us, Lord God, and produces a refreshment in our bones, God. Help us not to beat ourselves up, Lord God. That's not the case here. The case is to recognize and change our ways. And that's what I pray for, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.